Movies are usually thought of as the creations of actors and directors. But these days, many of Hollywood's most influential figures are producers. One such figure was the late Don Simpson, the man who gave us Beverly Hills Cop. Fresh Air film critic John Powers reviews Simpson's Last Testament.
In Hollywood, being a character is often mistaken for having it. When producer Don Simpson died last January, he was eulogized fondly by industry insiders. He was praised for being a self-made bad boy, driven, larger than life, a barrel of laughs at a party. No doubt, so was Caligula. The truth about Simpson was that he embodied much of what's rotten in today's Hollywood. I'm not referring here to his personal failings, his drug problems, his thuggish business style. No, the real horror of Don Simpson was that he, more than any other producer, was responsible for turning American movies into the noisy, glittering junk they've largely become. His blockbusters like Flashdance and Top Gun became the template for the new Hollywood movie. Gone was all interest in character or psychological depth. Gone any interest in ideas. For Simpson, movies were about pure sensation. All of which brings us to Simpson's last movie, The Rock, an action movie so seat-shaking loud you can hear it with your buttocks. Ed Harris plays General Francis X. Hummel, a war hero who has legitimate beef with the U.S. government. Hummel and his crack military unit take over Alcatraz, known as The Rock, and threaten to kill everyone in San Francisco with deadly chemicals unless they're given $100 million. To stop them, the government launches a secret invasion of Alcatraz. The guide is John Patrick Mason, a longtime political prisoner who's the only man ever to escape from The Rock. Played by Sean Connery, Mason will lead the team through the island's underground tunnels until they find the bombs. Then they'll be defused by Stanley Goodspeed, a friendly but nervous FBI chemicals whiz who's not used to being around live ammo. Goodspeed is played by Nicolas Cage, and he spends much of the movie trying to get Connery's character to take him seriously.
You're right. I don't use guns, and I don't kick down doors. This is what I do.
I haven't got my glasses.
What it says is chemical weapons specialist. That's right. I got a lunatic up there, man. With 15 missiles, armed with some really fucky stuff.
Not my Womack. You could have told my daughter.
It was classified. Look, I'm in the same situation. I got my girlfriend in the city with a baby on the way. Look, I can defuse the rockets. I really can. But I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need it right now.
In a sense, there are really two movies here. The first was made by Michael Bay, a one-time director of prize-winning commercials who has no apparent interest in anything human. Bay likes flashy images, you know, golden lights streaming through windows, enormous close-ups of spinning coins. And he loves to blow things up. His movie could be called Generic Action Picture, for that's precisely what it is. Its car chases, fireballs, and bad guys impaled on spikes could just as easily be in Die Hard, Speed, or Mission Impossible. If you love watching cable cars crunch yellow Ferraris very loudly, Michael Bay is the filmmaker for you. Luckily, there's a second, more enjoyable film that's been made by three of our finest and most virile screen actors, Harris, Connery, and Cage. This is a story about three decent men, a renegade general, an honest G-man, and a falsely imprisoned British spy, who've all been shafted by the U.S. government and now find themselves at violent cross-purposes. In playing these characters, each of the stars draws heavily on his familiar screen persona. Harking back to his work in The Right Stuff in Apollo 13, Harris gives General Hummel the clenched-jawed sincerity missing from today's hammy screen villains. Connery, playing what's essentially a white-haired version of James Bond, comes on like a sly old pro. He cruises through this movie as elegantly as 007's vintage Bentley. And Cage? Well, he's magnificently Nick Cage-ish. His Stanley Goodspeed is equal parts nerd and hipster, and he gets off some hilarious riffs. His comic byplay with Connery has the kind of charm you remember from older, better movies. To judge from the cheers of the preview audience, The Rock seems destined to be this week's monster hit. And why not? It's faster and more exciting than Mission Impossible. I only hope that somebody in Hollywood will realize that what makes the movie go is not all the Don Simpson stuff, all those MTV visuals and bombastic explosions. They're what slows the movie down. It's the small, human moments between Harris, Connery, and Cage that make The Rock really rock.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.